minutes. I imagine you've had an opportunity to look at it. I am open for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Messer.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on this item or questions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as is, please respond by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those that do not approve, nay. That is approved. My understanding is that we do not have any public comment. Has that changed?
No, it has not changed.
Okay, thank you. So there is no public comment. We will once again remind everybody that you should make any required disclosures right now or before you speak on an item under the city's ethics code. New business, Board of Health resolutions, we get started with authorization to accept funds from the National Organization of County and City Health Officials for flexible local epidemiology for X factor emerging diseases flexed grant. Can I have a motion to approve, please?
So moved, Messer.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you. There is a motion and a second. Is there further discussion of this item or any questions or anything that the staff would like to say about this item?
I think it describes pretty much in full, but, you know, just excited to be able to receive some funding from our national association to support further training and development of two members of our EPI and data science team, who'll be, I don't know if Kat jumped in to speak more to it, but, you know, they'll be participating in a, I think, year-long learning community, and we'll offer them access to resources, experts, and conferences. So
I did not read it, but is that Nacho?
Yes, Nacho.
Nacho, Jerry, Nacho.
It is dinner time, though. So.
All right, that's too bad.
Yes, the National Association of City and County Health Officials.
Okay. Seeing no other questions or comments, all those in favor of accepting Board of Health resolution authorization to accept, its resolution 12, authorization to accept funds from the national from NACHO for flexible local epidemiology for X factor emerging diseases. Please respond by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. So that is approved. So that was the resolution. So next on the agenda is the item regarding the letter of from the Board of Health for Madison and Dane County to the town of Middleton. Gene, would you like to talk about kind of how we got here, and then we'll ask the staff to present if they want to.
Sure.
The motion first. Sorry.
I think let's get to where you guys are. Well, yeah, I guess we have the letter there, so we can have a motion to accept the letter. Then we'll learn about it. I have a motion to accept the letter, please.
I move to accept the letter.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's hear more about this.
Who's the second?
Kendall.
Thank you. And then the first?
James. Siri.
Thank you.
You're muted, Jerry. You're muted, Jerry.
Jerry's lost audio.
Yeah. You've lost audio, Jerry.
Yeah, sorry.
There, you're back. Okay, you want me to talk? Okay. So the issue here relates to Maury Field, which is an airport in Middleton. It's owned by the city of Middleton, and it is adjacent to the town of Middleton. And the letter is a response to David Bryce, who's a member of the town board of the town of Middleton. And he contacted the department in April to ask if the department had a response to or comments about a study that the U.S. Geological Service had done in Middleton and issued late in 2024 regarding contaminants that the airport might be producing to the air and water and soil in the region of the airport. And our involvement in this dates to May of 2022, when Cynthia Richard, who is the chair of the, is this more than you want to know, Jerry, or is this sort of what you want? Okay, so the chair of the town of board sent a letter to Jerry and to the board asking the board to act on the issue of leaded gasoline being used in piston-powered airplanes and asked that we address this as a possible environmental toxin or hazard. In December of 2022, the board and the department issued a response which basically said that airport operations and aircraft fuels are not something that we are authorized to address, and provided a lot more detail about the levels of lead, the childhood lead levels that were known in that area, and also talked about efforts that are being made nationally to convert piston-powered airplanes, Cessna planes you're flying around, to convert them from leaded fuel to non-leaded fuel. And those efforts are being made by the FAA, the EPA, and multiple entities. So Cynthia Richard responded to the board in January 2023 with a letter which articulated her dissatisfaction with what the board and the department had said. The department responded to her response and said, "We think our response is quite fine. Thank you very much. We addressed all these issues." And that was where it all lay. In 2020, the town of Middleton also had a study done by the U.S. Geological Survey to look at lead and other contaminant levels in groundwater, soil, and wells in the vicinity of the airport. And this was completed in the middle of 2024. John Hausbeck, who retired from the department, and I attended the meeting on Zoom where this was discussed, and the final report came the end of 2024. And among other things, it said most of the lead that is found anywhere in the vicinity of the airport is unrelated to aviation fuel, that it relates to burning coal and intrinsic to the soil of Wisconsin. There were, however, of interest, two wells which had very, very low levels of lead in them, well below enforcement levels and actually below the detection level of normal survey or studies, which when the isotope ratios, and as those of you who don't follow chemistry closely, all elements have isotopes as part of them, have a few extra neutrons, a few extra electrons, and the study found that the isotope ratios in the water in two wells resembled the aviation gas isotope ratios of lead. The report actually used terms like similar to and closely matching and similar to, did not use the verb to be, which is to say the ratios did not mean the lead arose there. But the phone call then from the board member in April asked the board to look again at this and is there something about the report that we would like to respond to? The letter is the response that we've created to send to the board member because he inquired. And what we said, we stand by our previous report there is progress being made. The national EPA in 2023 issued a finding of endangerment, which means they'd studied the lead in aviation gas, said that it represented a potential endangerment to those around it, and therefore said they were then required to do a report on how to deal with that endangerment finding. And also said the FAA is also required to do that. These reports, the EPA endangerment finding occurred in 2023. And so there's really been nothing done published by them since then. Whether the current administration will proceed with that, doing that is unknown. The related, my phone is, the lead isotope ratio issue I addressed with the writer of the USGS report and the guy that did the chemistry on it. And those comments are in the letter, which says that they had hoped that the ratios would provide them with clear-cut answer, but they didn't do that, that there's a lot of overlap. I had found a study in the Journal of Science in 1965 that showed that the isotope ratios in automobile gas were similar to current airplane gas, and those are contained in the letter. So the letter basically says, thanks for your call. We stand by what we said before. The EPA is on this. It's not our, we do not have the authority to manage airport operations or airport fuels. And we note with interest that the study really didn't establish what the very small levels of lead in these wells came from. Love the board, and we signed it. So questions about that?
I mean, that was exactly what I was looking for. Gene, thank you. That was perfect. You even rolled in some stoichiometry and some chemistry there. That's pretty exciting.
It was fun.
Any questions or further comments regarding this item?
I can slightly comment by saying that one of the reasons this came up is that there have been studies in adjacent airports where leaded fuel is used, which have shown kid lead levels may be higher than optimal, especially if you're downwind for the airport. We don't have much data on that because the states that have done that have required lead testing in all kids. So you get a really splendid data. We don't have that. What we do have doesn't show any signal that says there's a child lead level problem related to this airport, but the data is incomplete, necessarily so. So I think this letter responds adequately to the questions that were asked and does it accurately.
Thank you. Does staff have anything that they would like to add? Obviously, that was pretty complete.
No,
I'm taking that as no.
I would say I think I appreciate the staff work, and I appreciate Gene's support and participation on behalf of the board, and perfect summary of all the things. So thank you.
I'll ask one more time. Any further questions or comments on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor of acceptance of the letter, and that by accepting it, we're basically quote unquote signing it as board, please respond by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Okay, that is signed. Thank you. Next, I do not have a report this month. Janelle, for the director report.
Just a few things. One, as you may have heard, the county has issued their budget directives to county agencies earlier this year than we have experienced in the past. And I'm making that very clear that that's to solely county agencies, because that is not yet what the directive is for public health, Madison and Dane County. So just to ground folks in what that is, they have asked for all county agencies to prepare budgets that include a 4% reduction from the base of tax levy that supports their departments. Of course, with the goal of maintaining staff positions, but also with an eye on how could that be done through contracts, how could that be done through new and different partnerships or collaborations, and with an eye on really being critical to services that we have offered that perhaps we have not evaluated their effectiveness and their current utility recently. Just wanted to lay that out. That was made public. There's a public hearing that the county executive is offering tonight, I believe at the Alliant, as a first step towards that final budget reconciliation in November. So that was the county. The city has not yet issued budget directives to city agencies. That will probably not happen until I think the week of June 16th-ish. And we anticipate that public health will be getting, we will be getting our joint directive. So that means agreement by the city and the county probably later this week. We are having our joint meeting with executive kind of finance folks to hear what they may be requesting of us. We have asked all of our programs this year, our managers to prepare some reductions in their in the budgets that they're developing for their programs, starting at 2% and up to 5 if that is possible, but probably in the 2 to 3% range, anticipating that we would, knowing what was happening in the conversations that I've been having amongst city and county leadership, that we could be in a very tight financial place outside of knowing what's happening at the federal level. Just from a, that doesn't, that just helps, that makes it worse, I would say, but knowing that just the baseline outside of federal impact is already a big financial headwinds. So just saying that, we will continue to provide you with updates of what that means for us. I've asked Adrienne to help support our budget subcommittee. So Jean, Alder Pritchett, and Supervisor Jackson, that's you, to meet with us in the next near future so that we can provide an overview of what that might look like in more detail for you to represent to the rest of the board. We'll provide those that information as well. And others are welcome to participate in that beyond the subcommittee, but we need to have the subcommittee participate. And just as a kind of general reminder, we don't start carte blanche with our budgets every year. We start from the place of how do we fund what we currently do? So we don't have wiggle room in, we won't, in our base budgets, we don't present new things unless those are things that can be done within the resources that we have that are adjustments to process or partnerships or things like that. So what you generally see from us is when we present our budget back to you is continuing to be able to support with some minor adjustments across categories, the work that we do every day. Again, just want to kind of lay out where we are procedurally, you know, in that timeline, and we'll be sharing more details as those emerge. We will likely be at, well, we have asked for an increase in our capital budget is one place where we'll, that's always held in a different process in a slightly different timeline as we continue to work on the redevelopment of our South Madison facilities as part of the Park Badger redevelopment on the south side. You know, as we go through that development process, the costs continue to be clearer. And when you start of a capital project, you hope it's going to be at a certain rate, and then that's usually not where you end. So those costs have gone up a little bit. We hope they won't go up a lot more. Remember, all of our financing that comes from tax levy is equalized value shared between the city and the county with, I think we're at 53, 47. Did I do math right? I think that's what it is. Sorry, fast math on the fly. With the county having a higher contribution based on the tax levy that they receive every year. So that's just happy to answer any questions you may have, but there'll be a lot more details coming as we learn what we will need to be doing to respond to prepare budgets for public health. And I have one other update, but I want to hold to see if there's any questions about that. Go ahead, Alder Pritchett. I don't see any. Sorry, Jerry, that's you. Maybe you're supposed to let her in.
No, that's fine. You can go. Alder, please.
Yes. Do you have, let's say, records from, let's say, the last 3 years since COVID? and begin to look at services that were provided, deliverables, and things like that. And the goal is to begin to look at where we were post-COVID and look at where we are now with respect to where funding is coming from, federal funding as well as state and county funding. And then begin to look at, let's say, some of the edicts that are out there on the horizon with respect to immunizations, especially those coming up in the fall. And then, because you've been asked to cut here and cut there, if we do that, I think we could come up with a plan to assess, if things need to be trimmed back, where and how much. But I think looking back, especially since COVID, where were we and where are we now? Because we do know that the funding was provided, by the federal government, towards COVID. But now, where are we? And can we look at past records to see, what did we do? Where did the money come from? And what, if anything, we need to trim back on? Thank you.
Yep. And I can answer some of that right now. I mean, we do that every year as part of the way that we prepare and can itemize and provide clarity around where we have applied those additional resources that we received during the pandemic and immediately for post-recovery as one part of your question, Alder. And we were very clear that when we use those resources, we did not do that to su supplement our day-to-day services. They were additional resources to kind of support some time-limited expansion so that they're not something we rely upon to support what we did pre-pandemic. And, great point around trying to prepare for what may be coming down. The maybe coming at us in the future from the federal budget and things like that, and things that we're considering, and also we'll have to have some conversations about how do we do that, because I think we're also not wanting to make, we don't rely on that much federal funding directly in the department. And so it will be something that we'll be thinking about, but since we don't know what exactly that will look like, it's hard to make plans around that at this moment in time. But recognizing that there's things that could be impacted more than others, and immunizations are one of those.
So a follow-up question, and the one reason why I'm asking that question is, should someone, let's say you come up with a budget and someone says, well, you can cut here or you can cut there, if you have a justification and or a rationale for doing this or doing that, I think you are in a much, much better position to hold on to what you have instead of having to go back and cut again. Rationale is beautiful. It can't be questioned. So providing a rationale for why you're doing this or why you're doing that will get people to start thinking beyond, well, just cut, especially if you've provided them a why not. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on the budget? And then I'll maybe end on a somewhat higher note. If you haven't seen already, this week or June celebrates many things. We celebrate Juneteenth month, we celebrate Pride, and I'm sure I'll miss other things that happen in June, but it's also Gun Violence Prevention Month. And so this year, we will be hosting, sponsoring, and collaborating on a series of events starting Friday evening that are intended to offer space for reminders, reflection, and perhaps a call to action around gun violence throughout the community. So there'll be a press conference a Friday morning here with our executives and public health staff. There is a kickoff event in Mount Horeb at Brick's Cider from 4 to 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, they're going to start installing an art installation of silhouettes of individuals representing people who have lost their lives to gun violence as a way to honor folks and call to action. Bring awareness to the need for improved strategies for gun prevention, violence prevention. Saturday at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a candlelight vigil at the Capitol on the corner of Mifflin and Carroll. And then Sunday there'll be a community event at Sherman Methodist Church, Sherman Avenue Methodist Church. So invite all of you to share that. I will send this out if you haven't seen it. Consider attending and come and join some of our public health colleagues in that space that day and others who are working with us on this in this space. So that's all.
Thank you, Janelle. I will say I was at the Capitol yesterday, and the rotunda had pictures of gun violence victims, and it's just there's so many of them, and they're all so young, and it's terrible.
We'll also be handing out some gun locks, and there will be some resources provided to support folks in improving and their prevention strategies in their homes and other spaces as well.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for Janelle? Okay, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Janelle. So that is our meeting. Our next meeting is Wednesday, July 16th, and the person who would have to come in person that time is all of us. It is one of our in-person meetings, so looking forward to seeing everybody at the Atrium Community Room, 5:30 on the 16th. Can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
So moved.
So moved, Messer. Second.
I'll take Messer as a second.
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of adjournment, please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.